A lot of people don't know it's written about Mao Zedong, and that Japan is the land of the rising sun, and he beated the Japanese's.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many things he could be talking
about. You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to filtering pop culture through filters.
Sparklet filters.
Sure, why not?
Britta Perry.
I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who are you?
I'm Alex Mitchell. Not as sick as I was, but I'm doing better.
Alright. Yeah. So, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/obscuregentleman. Donate to help support the webcomic and the podcast.
Yeah.
As little or as much as you'd like, there are some cool things you can get by doing so.
I'd say as little as you like.
Well, as little as they like, a dollar. A dollar's fun. A dollar guarantees them a handshake if they ever run into us.
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't donate a dollar, you can't give me a handshake. The podcast itself.
That's a prize within itself.
It is. The podcast itself, please subscribe if you're listening right now from the website. And leave us a comment and share with whoever you want to share with. Your grandma or your uncle, doesn't matter.
Your enemies, too.
Your enemies, even your enemies. The enemy of your enemy is my frenemy. So, yeah, Antonio, you know, do what you gotta do.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang!
There was a firefight!
But I don't wanna be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you stop?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat.
Oh, look. Rocks.
Game over!
You lose. Good day, sir.
No! No!
Steven Spielberg is full of shit.
Yeah?
I just want to start off by
saying okay. I mean, I like his movies.
No, I mean, he came out recently saying, I mean, we're not going to really talk about this, but he came out recently saying that superhero movies are a fad and they're going to die soon.
Mm. I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, but my thing, and he said, you know, they're just like Westerns. Spielberg, here's the problem with your comparison. Superhero movies are versatile. They allow for diversity to the point where it's not always like a type of movie. Because here's the thing. You could have a superhero movie that's a Western.
Like Jonah Hex.
Yeah, you can have a superhero movie that's a musical if you wanted to. You can have a superhero movie that's a horror movie. The thing is, Western is a single genre. Superhero movies aren't a genre. They're a... I don't even know what to put them in. It's like... It's almost like a comedy, I guess, because comedies can do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's a genre, but it's broad.
It's a broad genre within the media.
Yeah, it's not like with Westerns where it's like...
That's a genre. that's the thing. You could do a horror Western.
But it's...
You could do a sci-fi.
It's more limited still.
You're still, yeah,
you're still limited
by tech.
To the tropes of Westerns, yeah. Whereas in a superhero movie, like, Unbreakable kind of proves that it's like a superhero movie doesn't have to be, like, high thrills and high-octane action.
That movie's awesome.
It can be... Superhero movies can be, like, very, very, like, mundane to very, very out there. So that's why I think his whole superhero movies are gonna go... It's like, again, people have been saying this since X-Men 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the bubble's gonna burst, it's gonna go away. A part of me just thinks Spielberg's kind of jealous. A little part of me thinks
he should get in on this, then. He should direct something.
He's not going to.
Well, then, whatever.
What's the last movie he even made?
War Horse, I think? Or Lincoln.
Was it Lincoln?
Yeah, which I liked, actually.
I never saw it, but... I mean, he's not the popcorn king anymore.
No. And you know what? That's okay.
But I think that might bother him a little bit, that he's no longer, like...
Because he kind of... He kind of pretty much, like, jump-started the whole blockbuster summer film.
Which
we discuss in another podcast.
He turned popcorn movies from being, like, B-movies from the 50s and stuff to being, like, the main attraction for movies.
Because when you think about it, Jaws is kind of like... It kind of does feel like a surf party B-movie to some extent.
Surf party B-movie.
Yeah.
Does, yeah.
And then, but there's, like, pathos to it.
But that's the thing, yeah. He was the king of popcorn films. And now he's kind of like... He's making good movies. I'm not saying he's not, but it's like...
Oh, yeah. But they're not, like, high budget,
it's,
you know...
My problem is, like, a lot of directors are getting older.
Yeah.
And they're kind of getting cynical. Like, you have him and Scorsese, like, about 5 years ago, they said digital film was going to go nowhere. Mm-hmm.
But they, I mean, but that was their thing, though. They love filming on film.
But that's
film.
My problem with them is, like, they claimed... I mean, it might have actually been...
But that was the one thing Lucas had right, though.
Yeah, that, he was right about that. Lucas was right about that. Yeah, because they... Robert Rodriguez wanted, completely said, no, I'm switching to digital, which he did. Yeah. And they kind of laughed it off, saying, like, you're not going to want to do that. You know, film's here to stay. And it's like...
Didn't Tarantino kind of feel that way, too?
He still feels that way.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, that's their preference, but they're kind of... They kind of come up as crotchety old men when they're like, the newer stuff, no one's going to like that.
Which is weird, considering they're essentially, like, the big names of New Hollywood. Yeah. They're the big names of New Hollywood.
But now they're not anymore.
They're not New Hollywood anymore. So, I mean...
Of course that's going to set in, but... Anyways, that was just something that was on my mind, and I saw there was a poll this morning, and whatever. So, Marvel, speaking of superhero movies, Marvel's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those not in the know, what happened recently is... First, we found out that so Kevin Feige has to answer, or did have to answer, to Ike Perlmutter, who was the chairman of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
He was like in charge of Marvel, and Perlmutter was kind of known for being very stingy, to the point where like he got rid of a bunch of employee bathrooms. He wanted cheap furniture. He'd cancel certain titles.
He cuts corners
like no other businessman.
Okay.
And he's like in his 70s. He doesn't like to be filmed. And he's also the reason why a lot of Marvel directors like would either get shafted or something, because he didn't want to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's why some actors had to take budget cuts.
Yeah. So that's why recently it came out that Disney said, oh, Feige, you no longer have to listen to Perlmutter. He's out of the picture. He's still a board member and everything. He's still in control of Marvel Comics. But
he's just kind of kicked upstairs a bit.
Well, not, you know, he has the same position. Power's just been taken away from him.
Oh, okay.
So now Feige only has to answer to Alan Horn, who's the chairman of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude has a pretty good track record.
Right.
As you know, Disney's pretty much hands-off when it comes to this sort of stuff. So Feige now gets to do whatever the hell he wants without having Perlmutter saying, nope, cut that. We don't want female merchandise, which he did too, which is weird. He got rid of female merchandise.
Yeah, that's one of the things I see a lot of people say is that, you know, my daughter wants more female toys. And, you know, or even just toys in general, you know.
Yeah.
And but, I don't see why they don't. It seems like a market
Because Perlmutter, back in the day, he's using 80s, like, 80s research.
So, like, boys like Transformers, girls like My Little Pony.
Yeah, it's that weird thing where he believes girls don't buy action figures. Okay. Girls don't buy shirts with pictures on them with heroes.
Yeah.
So, now that Disney has just said, hey, feed whatever you want, things are likely going to change. Now, something else happened a few days later, like 2 days later. So, there is a... Marvel movies have always been made by the creative committee, like, helped made by the creative committee, which consisted of the president of Marvel, Alan Fine, the publisher, Dan Buckley, the creative chief officer, Joe Quesada, and Brian Michael Bendis, who's a prominent writer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that creative committee is gone, and this has worried a lot of people, because they're essentially Marvel Comics. They're the people making sure that the movies are like the comics. And this has upset a lot of people. And so today we're mostly going to be talking about that and a little bit about Perlmutter.
Mm-hmm.
Because these two things, things have been shaken up completely. So, I mean, it could either go either way. So, I guess I'll start with this one. Eric says, and this is a common sentiment, similar to what Travis of the Absurd Gentleman Plain Zero fame said, too, in a group message, rest in peace, good Marvel movies. And that's the...
It's a little reactionary, but I mean, but if you're paying attention to the patterns, I could understand why.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as we go through the comments, there's people who point out some things like that sort of hold in favor of that argument of okay, this is the end of. The
and movie. Obviously, there's reason for concern. Yeah. I mean, you guys like these movies. I like them too. I don't think I like them on the level that everyone does, but I enjoy them.
Yeah, yours is the more popcorn approach where it's like, yeah, they're just fun, entertaining movies.
Yeah. But I do understand that you guys like, you guys are very...
We're invested because invested in the
you want to see what the future holds, too, and that's awesome, and I love that.
So Mike says, so now I'm getting knee-deep in the comments.
Okay.
The first announcement yesterday didn't seem of much consequence, so he's referring to the Perlmutter thing.
Yeah.
This one troubles me. Comic book movies are, in my opinion, best when they are collaborative efforts between comic book creators and film studios.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why a lot of people have a problem with these DC movies.
Cause, yeah.
Because they are, as interesting as they might look, they're a bit directionless.
Well, and it's not just that.
And there's no unified approach to it. And I know that's what you said. Like, you liked it when there was a unified approach, but then it's like, director, you can kind of do your own thing, but you still need
to... But still, it has to be consistent with what's going on. Now, while I understand what he's saying, Feige also, I kind of want to give Feige the benefit of the doubt.
That's what I'm feeling.
Or Feige.
I just say Feige.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt simply because he is a comic book fan. He loves comic books. And I don't know. I have a hard time feeling that
they would give him that just to like undercut him at the same time. Yeah. It seems weird to me.
And I get the feeling he's still going to rein in directors.
Yeah.
Like, because he himself would do that still. Like, despite the fact that... Because, yeah, the creative committee was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my concern is, though, is, like, is there going to be maybe too much leeway?
Mm-hmm.
Because the complaint about the creative committee from Disney was that they were interfering with little minute details that people didn't care about. But at the same time, it's like...
Why are you doing that?
No, it's maybe... Maybe they don't care about it, but it could be something like huge for comic book fans that they care about. Like these little details that made these movies kind of like.
Can the characters still smoke, or is that not a.
Oh, that's not allowed at all.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Because I know people want to see J. Jonah Jameson chomping on cigar and all that.
People want to see Wolverine smoking, and well, that's Fox, but.
Yeah,
that's people want to see Nick Fury smoking, but that probably won't happen.
I can't imagine. Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury with a freaking.
Well, I mean,
it's weird. Like I can imagine, like I guess David Hasselhoff with it, but not.
Well, I mean, Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, the whole smoking ban happened because Joe Quesada in the early 2000s, but it's a horse of a different color. So okay. So the next comment comes from Michael, not Mike. Michael. So we're moving on to Michael now. This is a mistake. Making sure the comics were major influences in the movies is a result of the committee. We've all seen superhero movies by studios who think they know better or are above the comic books themselves. Not a great track record. They are the creators of the universe. They should have a say in how it's portrayed on screen. Major misstep here.
Yeah, I mean... There's nothing... These aren't insane comments. Yeah. I think these are very...
No, you know, I know. And that's like, most of the insane comments were just... shit talking, which I didn't want to really capture.
No, because what's the point?
But I mean, yeah, he does have a good point. It's like, why not have the people who actually make the comics like give advice? Now we don't know yet, but
no.
that some people are saying it's possible that there'll be a creative committee for each film instead. Mm-hmm. Instead of like a broad creative committee, you have like people who know about the properties, like just. So trying to make, but then again, if you
does do that, doesn't that give like a bit of a
does it dissolve the consistent tone?
Yeah, I think it would.
But maybe not because again, Feige is behind
still,
everything.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that seems like micromanaging.
Well, that's basically what he's been doing. Still, essentially, it's been Feige, the creative committee, and Perlmutter. This just kind of gets rid of all the stuff that's you know
above him, I guess.
Not above him, but that's like sort of been hindering him, I guess.
Okay.
Unless they've sort of been what's helping him. Perlmutter, I could say I'm glad he's gone. The creative committee is the one thing where I'm like iffy about because I'm like, how much do they support him? How much do they help him? Then again, Brian Michael Bendis, like 2 years ago on his Tumblr, he even kind of said like, you know, we don't really do much. We give in a few notes and stuff, and he's like, they're taking into consideration, but it's like it's not like we're a deciding factor or anything. So it's possible that this is like,
but that could be him being modest.
Yeah.
Too. So I, you know what, we'll have to see.
Okay.
It's iffy.
Nathaniel says, "This is a good thing. Ike Perlmutter is one of the most bizarre, secretive, crazy people to ever work for the company. Allowing directors more creative freedom will allow higher quality films to be produced."
Is he like the film version of what we were talking about the other day, which is crazy comic book people?
You mean which? You're time traveling right now.
I am.
You're a time traveler, Alejandro. You guys.
He seems like an odd person though. I mean, like, You always hear weird things about these.
No. He's your classic businessman mm-hmm. who cares mostly about the bottom line, is willing to cut costs mm-hmm. everywhere across the board.
I don't know. Well, I've never been a fan of that.
Take this into consideration, and a lot of people don't, is that he was mainly from a publishing wing only. He wasn't dealing with, like, multi-billions. He wasn't mm-hmm. dealing with... Because he was with Marvel prior to them, you know, becoming part of Disney.
Yeah.
So he's used to, like, I need to cut corners for this publisher. But now it's like, why are you cutting corners for Disney? They have the money to back this up.
Yeah.
And at the same time, so I imagine Disney's, like, board members were just being like, the hell is this guy doing? It's like, we have the money. Why is he being stingy about it?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm sure they don't mind him saving money, but
he's not, he's, okay, see, here's how crazy it is. Here's the type of money he wants to save. Do you know everyone who worked on a Marvel film, the studio was not allowed to pay for their gym memberships and shit, or their trainers?
Why?
Because Perlmutter wanted to save money, so every actor...
But that wouldn't cost that much.
Exactly. Right? I mean, every actor had to find their own trainer. Yeah. Usually studios, what they do is they have their own trainers that they rely on. He didn't want that because he's like, we've got to save money.
But a studio trainer means that they can dedicate all their time to the person.
I know. All right. Well, that's the thing.
That is weird. That is actually
he's known for being like that. Like, and I wasn't joking about the furniture thing. He at one point had all the furniture taken out of the Marvel offices and replaced with cheaper furniture,
like IKEA shit.
Like cheap shit. Bathrooms. He had all the staff bathroom closed except for one, and he had all the plumbing ripped out and everything.
That's gross.
He's crazy. So people don't know if this could also be like the beginning of the end for him in general at Marvel. Mm. I don't know. We'll see. So moving on. Christian says, here is the only thing I will say about this. Whether you liked or disliked the committee or Feige reporting to Marvel CEO, the Marvel movies worked. They found a formula that, albeit taxing and frustrating, worked almost perfectly in the grand scheme of things. Marvel has been pulling out blockbusters for 7 years, and whether you liked them or not, the committee had a part in it. I wouldn't say this is a good thing or a bad thing. I will need to see the post-committee movies to give an answer.
Yeah. I mean, and that's about as fair as I can be about this.
Yeah, and he does make a point. Like, for all the problems we might have with Ike, mm-hmm. for all the problems we might have
it worked.
It did. It worked.
We're very well.
Although, today... something was said. So the reason for Perlmutter's dismissal from the movies and the committees was Disney essentially figured out and came to the decision that
mm-hmm.
they saw Age of Ultron 2 as underperforming. They didn't like how it performed. They hoped it would make more money.
It didn't beat Avengers 1, did it?
No. So this is essentially sort of a, like, well, it could have been better if had... these things not being here. Now, is that true? Is that...
It's kind of like Warner Brothers reacting to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Well, Man from U.N.C.L.E., I should say.
Yes. So, is this going to be... Is anything that Disney is saying, does it have credence? I guess we'll find out in after Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Because after Doctor Strange is finally when we're going to have our first...
Did Ant-Man perform very well?
It performed okay. Like,
but then again, I think you have to consider the fact that it's not like a big name.
It was pretty small budget.
Yeah.
It had a smaller budget for a Marvel movie, and it performed well enough that they didn't see anything wrong with it.
So. All right, then that's all you can hope for.
So, okay.
But the Avengers, though.
Yeah, that's to them that underperformed. Yeah. And
I kind of get that.
I think they also looked at the studio interference from... not studio interference, the interference from Perlmutter and from... just everyone involved, that it was like, okay, things are getting a little out of hand. But who knows? It could be the other way around. Okay, so Brett says, do you honestly think Feige is going to go, yeah, now I can make it however I want? Not really. And you know what? I think that guy, he kind of has a point. I don't think Feige is going to just be like, fuck it, we're going to make everything completely different.
No, I mean, Feige isn't an idiot. I think he knows.
Yeah, that. He's really the captain of this whole Marvel ship.
Yeah.
The only difference now is he doesn't have people poking him and prodding him. Now, someone else said this, and they said it could go either way. It could be really make these movies even better, or Feige could be like a Lucas, where
he has good intentions.
Maybe he needs like
some
guidance,
like the Donnie Darko director's cut.
Yeah,
have you ever seen that?
No,
it's not good.
Of course, but yeah, it could be one of those cases where it's like, yeah, he needed the guidance, but we don't know, of course, yet. So here's what Mark had to say: whose bright idea is this? Do you not see the success Marvel has had as of late? That's all in part thanks to the creative team, amongst other groups. Yet you're going to disband the creative team that was bringing us wonderful stories and movies and shows? Like I asked before, whose bright idea was this? To which Cameron replied, "The creative team turned all Marvel movies into the same thing. I enjoyed them, yes, but I'd love to see new, fresh takes on the characters." I'm not with you, Cameron.
I mean, like, what are you going to do at this point? Well, no, like, I mean,
my gripe is Cameron's making that statement that you see a lot where it's like, I don't want them to be like the comic characters. Oh, I want them to just do something different.
Oh, so like Fantastic Four.
It's like, that's what happens. It's like,
Batman Begins, right? It's a bit dark. It's a bit darker. But it reminds you of Batman.
The heart of the character is still there.
Yeah.
There are people who, for some reason, and they don't even read comics, who would rather it just be different. I want it to be different because I don't read comics, so make it different.
People who don't read comics have some say in the film, but I don't think that. I feel like it's often at the expense of everyone else.
And it's not just that, though. When they straight up ask for it to be different,
I don't know what that
for
means.
For the sake of different, it's like, why? Like, are you so against seeing the property interpreted from what it originally was?
That's like with Walking Dead. They said, like, well, why do you want to read the? Why do you want to watch the comic book? I'm like, because I like that comic book.
Yeah, people have this mindset, and it's like, it's something I just do not understand. It's like, if you like something, wouldn't you want to see it adapted faithfully? I mean, or
that way someone else could, you know, enjoy it.
Or as close to as faithful as possible.
Which is weird, because then whenever it doesn't happen, like in Harry Potter, so, well, it didn't happen that way. Game of Thrones, for me,
it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Game of Thrones, for me, I don't like the changes that are happening. I mean, but it's like,
of course, it's like, no matter what, people will complain.
Yeah, so.
But, yeah, I mean, Cameron, fresh takes on characters, it's like,
I could understand that, but I don't know what she means or he means by fresh takes.
So Justin says, "I'm okay with this for now. Feige has a very sturdy and proven track record, and Disney will most likely be letting Marvel have autonomy on all their films." Yeah.
These are some very intelligent comments.
There was a lot that people get screaming, "Give Marvel back to DC."
What?
One that made no sense to me. I think his name was Eric who said that.
Okay.
Give Marvel back to DC. There was one saying, like, Robert Downey Jr. should just direct all the movies. There was one saying, like, make him crossover Batman. There were a lot of people saying, like,
put Batman in the Avengers and stuff.
They were saying, Marvel belongs with Marvel. And then something else, things along the lines of, I can't believe they're letting Disney take over these movies.
Well,
they've been since Avengers.
They own these movies. They own these characters.
There are a lot of people who still don't know that Disney is in control of these movies.
Mm.
Which is, they think Marvel Studios is separate from Disney. Which is really weird.
I think because, again, it's the whole Fox situation. Yeah. And it confuses people.
So, but no, this guy does have a point.
Alright.
Disney has a good track record of doing that, so. So the last one. I think he says it better than everyone else. He's a light of hope in this world of darkness. And so Dixon says, "I will do this job."
He's gonna take over. He's taking over.
You know what, Dixon?
I'm with you.
I don't know why, but I believe you.
I do.
I believe that you can do this. I believe that you can save Marvel.
Marvel's not finished.
So, well, are they flying too close to the sun? Are they biting off more than they can chew? I mean, only time will tell. I mean, really, we're at a point where we don't really know if the creative committee was necessary or if they were a hindrance. We don't know if...
I do think that they're taking a risk. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, or maybe it's just...
Maybe they know something that we... obviously, they know something that we
don't. No, we know more than they do.
Yeah.
No. It could.
You know what? I've got faith in Disney. You know, I'm seeing the way Star Wars is
shaping up.
And you know me when I was saying, like, I don't know what the whole point is. I was initially not very big on. Now I'm all for it. It's cool. I mean, whatever's going to happen.
Honestly, it worries me a little.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we will have to wait and see. Because, again, we don't know how much influence the creative committee actually did have, if any. Because it could have been one of the situations where they handed notes, Feige looks over them, and is just like...
Okay.
Because Feige, again, dude loves comic books, reads comic books, wants these movies.
Yeah.
He's overwritten directors, like the whole stuff with Edgar Wright.
Has he ever directed anything?
No.
Okay.
The whole stuff with Edgar Wright, though, Feige was the one behind all of that stuff, basically telling him, no, we need it like this, we need it like this.
Yeah.
He's the one who essentially made Wright walk, which I still think was good that happened.
You need consistency. Yeah. And it's like you told me, if Wright wanted any hand in shaping the look of the Marvel Universe, he should have done it when he had the chance.
Yeah, if anything, the good thing you can see coming from this is there'll be less budget cuts, less pointless notes that kind of, don't matter. But again, well, I guess we'll have to see, so...
Yeah.
All right. So, Doctor Who news.
Spoilers.
God damn it.
Spoilers.
So, Doctor Who premieres in, like, a few weeks.
I do want to say, like, actual spoilers for people who may not because I know the new season was uploaded on Netflix recently, so...
Yeah, Series 8. And Series 9 starts soon.
Yeah.
But
I am also making a reference.
Yeah, because... Okay, so... Casting was just a big casting reveal for the Christmas special was revealed.
I'm kind of surprised they mentioned it, to be honest.
I mean, it was probably one of those things where they did probably before because they were probably going to start filming outside or something.
Okay.
I mean, they always do that. So, Series 9 Christmas special, we'll see the return of Alex Kingston as Dr. River Song. And before we say anything, I just want to sum it up perfectly what IO9 said in their headline. River Song is returning to Doctor Who. Great. Wee.
I love when I first read that, I was like, oh, Aaron's going to like that.
It's the most, like...
It summed up everything you felt.
Yeah, it was just like,
right.
Oh, fuck, here we go again. To quote the Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, here we go again.
Oh, I thought he said, oh, fuck, here we go
again. No, he didn't say, oh, fuck. But, like, look, I liked River at first. I thought the concept was fucking great.
She's her best in that library episode.
Sounds in the library.
And then, what's the other one where, I'm getting my doctor.
Name of the Doctor?
Yes. So also another
She was good. Okay, here's when she was good. When she wasn't, like, hyper-sexualized and wasn't all about, like,
fucking the Doctor.
Yeah, it was like a creepy seducing thing.
Yeah,
that came off like as just like it did not work for me. But me personally, I don't like sexualization in Doctor Who in general.
Yeah, you've mentioned.
I mean, I'm fine with romance in Doctor Who as long as it doesn't pertain to the Doctor.
Yeah,
that just he's thousands of years.
So this is why you like Capaldi.
Yes, because we're finally rid of that. But she's back, and so here's. Is she going to be playing saucy, cheeky River Song, or is she going to be playing like awesome
Silence of the Library
River Song, who's like
mature and very
who's gotten over that whole like
she's still a little flirty in that, but not to the
not
degree.
A cougar.
Yeah, not to the degree
yes.
that.
So, I mean, that's fine, but it's a Christmas special, so it's a one-off thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Unless she's...
Don't you dare. Don't you say
unless she's coming back for the rest of the
she
season.
She won't be... You mean that would be Series 10?
Yes.
Don't you dare. Josh says, what the fuck? Can't we just move on already from River Song? Why not Captain Jack instead? Eric responds, well, you see, Josh, Jack was last seen jumping into the Earth's menstruating vagina. It's very difficult to make a character like that work after something so dramatic. To which Josh responds, I've just realized a gay man saved the world by jumping into a vagina. If that's not worth some sort of psychological scrutiny, I don't know what is.
Well,
I
did not watch Torchwood, so I have no idea.
Oh, so you didn't see that.
I didn't see that at all.
That's essentially the ending.
Oh, wow.
There's
my mom was watching Torchwood without any context of Doctor Who.
Miracle Day?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a big, giant, gaping maw that runs through the entire Earth.
Is that in Cardiff or whatever?
And it's bleeding.
Oh.
And
Davies is weird.
Captain Jack jumps through it.
So that's why he wasn't in the 50th special.
No, oh, no. He wasn't in the 50th because he was... No, no, no. He wasn't in the Good Man Goes to War because of that. He wasn't in the 50th because of Arrow.
Yeah.
So.
I like you, Arrow, but fuck you.
So, yes. Edwin says, more excited about her meeting the 8th Doctor in the audios, to which Borf Splort responded...
Borf Splort. Yeah,
he responded with... So, again, more excited about her meeting the 8th Doctor in the audios, Borf Splort responded, keep your fucking hands off of Paul McGann, you shit!
Jesus.
Okay, I listen to Big Finish audio.
Yeah.
His Doctor is probably the best of the Big Finish audios. The 8th Doctor is supremely underrated based on those audios alone.
But people just judge him based on the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his one appearance in...
That awesome little...
The mini-sode.
Yeah.
River being with the 8th Doctor... Why?
I mean, does she gotta fuck everyone? I mean...
I don't...
Is this a popular character?
River?
Still?
Yes.
I mean, yes. I never...
With a certain demographic, but let's not go into that. But yeah, she's going to be in the audio.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Rob says, I'd rather have a John Cena versus Big Show main event at WrestleMania.
Well, that's just amazing.
So
I did get an Orton versus Big Show main event last year, 2 years ago, I should say. That was awful. It was as entertaining as it sounds.
I feel like John Cena versus Big Show at WrestleMania would feel like a poor man's version of Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Yeah, it essentially would be.
So I gathered after that, those were from Facebook. I ended up asking the Doctor Who General and Fortune what they thought of this.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, like, posted and asked.
Uh-oh.
I was like, so what do you guys think of this? And I said, you know, I'll credit you with whatever you want me to credit with you.
Mm.
Some were trips who, they're trip friends, their names.
Oh, so they're aware that they
but
could
But some of them were not. They put some names.
Okay.
Actually, one of them put a name. Oh, no, two of them did. So, yeah, so Tardybox says... The song is over, and the story ended two series ago. She was interesting and had so much potential, but has quickly become too convoluted and only degraded with each subsequent appearance. You don't keep reapplying the same band-aid and cut the heel halfway through Let's Kill Hitler.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of... Yeah, she...
I didn't like those episodes, by the way.
In hindsight, Let's Kill Hitler wasn't as good, no. And a lot of her episodes aren't as good, but yeah, she did serve her purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really feel like there's no more story to tell with her. So, yeah, Tardy Bucks, you,
yeah.
Bookanon says shrug.
Okay,
he's not.
That's all I'll say. Shrug.
I mean, that's the fairest assumption.
You can yeah, make, and that's like, that's kind of how I feel too. It's like, all right,
so
no Martha.
So, Dan, why won't the voices stop? Oh, God, make them stop, B said.
Jesus.
Yeah. Why not? It'll be a sex storm of epic proportions.
A sex storm of epic proportions.
Okay, here's the thing. He's actually quoting Russell T. Davies.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the reason why we're getting River Song. So, a few months ago, him and Moffat were just, you know, talking.
Having tea.
Having
tea and biscuits.
Having tea, you know, probably pelting people with stones or something. I don't know.
Taxing Americans.
What?
I don't know what British people do.
They were just talking, and, well, I mean, and so Russell T. Davies was like, oh, so when you bring River back, and Moffat said, oh, no, her story's over.
Yeah.
To which Russell T. Davies responded to him, what? It'll be a sex storm of epic proportions. How could you not do it? And he convinced Moffat to bring her back.
Because Capaldi's a grump and she's, like, into that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So the last one comes from...
Davies, you're dead to me.
The last one comes from Dan put drugs in her cider and stick it inside her Schneider.
This is a reference to...
Dan Schneider of Nickelodeon fame.
Who also starred in Better Off Dead with a man we'll be discussing in a few moments.
And he was also... He's a producer of all the Nickelodeon shows. Yeah. He was in Good Burger.
He's on this website. He's
there's
a rumor. Well,
in general, watch 4chan. There's a rumor that he's a pedophile.
Yeah,
and he likes feet. Anyways, so he says, I'm actually cautiously optimistic about River's return. I'm hoping that her and Capaldi have excellent chemistry. I mean, you can just see it in their acting and with other characters that they'd be great together. So this guy gives like a fair assessment. So I mean,
that's the thing. I'm looking forward to banter at this point.
We will have to see.
Yeah,
that's the best thing we can do.
That feels like this podcast in general. Yeah. Let's just wait and see.
It's that time again.
Netflix roulette.
We're rolling on the roulette board.
Yep.
We're putting guns to our head.
Yeah. So, you rolled something. I don't even remember what it was.
It was a Korean movie.
Yeah, it actually sounded cool.
But this one, so what did we land on this week?
We landed on Drive Hard, starring John Cusack and Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane, yeah. And a bunch of Australian people.
Yeah, the movie takes place in Australia.
Doing American accents.
Well, some of them are Australian, some of them are...
A lot of them are Australian, though.
No, like, the movie takes place in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's essentially about...
It's a road chase buddy
film. It's a getaway film, essentially. Yeah. Like, so, Thomas Jane used to be a race car driver, something 2 years old. I don't know how that song goes.
So,
Dog Will Hunt.
Thomas Jane was a race car driver. God damn it.
Yeah, you got
oh,
it.
Oh, God. God damn it. Thomas Jane was a race car driver. I can't.
He drove so goddamn fast.
I can't not say it without thinking it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dude. So, Thomas Jane was a race car driver.
Yeah. He used to be a race car driver. But now he's doing
driving school
for Australia. Yeah, he lives in Australia
with his wife and his kid
who speaks with an American accent. And then
John Cusack comes into his life
and says he requests this guy because you know you're American, I'm American,
and then a heist happens, not a bank heist, but like a
he says, hey, I need to go here.
Yeah,
I say, all right. And robs a bank or
bank
ish. It's a
it's
essentially a bank,
sort of like a money laundering sort of.
Yeah,
it's a weird.
Steals thing. $9 million and he says, "Well, you got to drive." And he's like, "Wait, what?" And
so the rest of the movie is just them going through Australia.
Yeah,
running from people.
Yeah,
like they get place to place, and each place they go,
people find out
someone's trying
are.
To kill them.
Yeah,
so I kind of want to say it's kind of like a grindhouse film almost.
It did feel like that.
It's
a cheap made film.
It's what I wish Death Proof would have been about.
Mm.
It's a fun, like, two dudes, like, going across country,
I guess. And he's kind of like an inadequate, like, person in his relationship. And he's kind of learning how to be like not a pushover.
And their relationship is funny, because it's like...
Because it's like, yeah, John Cusack's trying to teach him kind of like how to be a man and all that.
It's a role reversal, too, because normally John Cusack, you'd think he'd be the Thomas Jane character.
Yeah.
And Thomas Jane would be the John Cusack character.
Yeah.
But instead, yeah, Thomas Jane's the pushover, John Cusack's the badass with two guns.
He's awesome in this movie.
And it's funny banter back and forth. Yeah. There's
little side characters.
There's one scene of really bad CG where a motorcycle explodes.
Yeah, but
and it's clearly CG.
It looked better than the Fantastic Four tank explosion.
But
though.
It's really it's a turn your brain off and just go for the ride. So it kind of feels like a throwback film almost.
Yeah.
I mean, and
it felt like the many like action movies that are kind of like low budget that come out.
Yeah, and it's like it's a nice little just. I mean,
it and what I was worried about was it was going to be one of those, oh, look, it's funny now, but the ending's going to be really dark and depressing. And
it's not overly dramatic, not overly violent. It's funny. It's a funny, fun movie that
it ends on a pretty good note, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
it was fun.
It's a movie where you've seen an old lady get punched in the stomach.
But she's an evil cunt, apparently, so.
As to quote...
Her husband.
Her husband. And just Australians taking the piss out of everyone.
Yeah.
And as you said, Australians aren't good actors.
No, I think it's just the actors.
And Thomas Jane looks different because he's got longish hair.
Thomas Jane, shout out to my friend Travis from the Plain Zero podcast. He looks like you if you were just a little bit older and had long hair.
So there you go. So
check that out, Travis.
Comments though.
Yeah, people didn't like this movie. I mean,
I was so surprised. How
it was a simple movie.
This movie's hated so much.
Right. So, I got one for you. Underrated and enjoyable. Sure, it's not great, but give it a chance. and remove that stick out your ass and have fun.
Yeah.
Agreed, says one man. I own this film on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does seem like a weird movie to own on Blu-ray to me.
Well, it's, a lot of these people are comparing this movie to, like, huge budget action films, and
yeah,
it's a small independent Australian movie. Yeah.
Trivia from the set of Drive Hard, says one man. A friend of a friend of a friend worked on this glorious piece of cinematic turdery.
Oh, God.
Told me two things that made me wee a little. So
okay.
I guess he pissed himself. John Q's hack was such a expletive to work with, and told the director on the first day of the shoot that he didn't want his face seen in the film, hence the glasses and hat. Number two, John Q's hack, and he keeps typing it like that, hated the Aussie producers and crew so much, he left a fecal nugget in his trailer on the last day of filming. Oh my God. The end.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just angry people.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I try to collect comments that were nothing but, like, it was mostly, this movie is vile shit.
Yeah.
This movie isn't, like, a real action movie.
Things I learned from Drive Hard. The worst police force you will ever see is in Australia.
Okay.
Keep a tight grip on that shotgun, and should you ever be instructed to put it down, make sure you don't drop it on the butt of the gun with the barrel towards your head, because this action will result in you winning the stupid Death of the Year award. Number three, don't fall in love with a Korean woman. That's a reference to...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something... Yeah. A house that is patrolled by police will not notice a man with a camera peeping into the house they're patrolling. Movie was hilarious, but I had to just share what I learned. Number five, you can never take an Aussie bad guy seriously with their accent. Awful movie, by the way. Absolute garbage.
I kind of agree with the Australian accent thing.
It was weird, because I can take British accents seriously, but...
Australian accents are just kind of like...
They're a bit
make you smile, because they're like, it's an Australian.
You guys like kangaroos.
So, okay, so...
That's all I got. There wasn't a lot.
Okay, so I have a few. Okay Computer says, this would have been better... if it was Joan Cusack instead of John.
I kind of want to see that now.
That's a weird...
Are they related?
No.
I don't know, because...
That's not his sister at all.
I don't know.
Seriously?
I every time it's like, oh, Robert Downey Jr., Morton Downey Jr. aren't
Joan and John Cusack related. Are brother and sister. They were in movies together back
then. I didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a John Cusack fan.
I am.
I know you are.
I love John Cusack. He's the everyman that every man wants or should want to be.
I guess.
He's your prototype everyman. He's like the soul of the everyman. And he is in really good movies, except that Edgar Allan Poe one was horrible. I don't know why I watched it. It was on Netflix.
I know what you're talking about.
But I will watch anything with John Cusack, usually. So don't talk bad on him. Hellfire918 says, here's how you make this movie better. First, make it an action movie and not a comedy. Second, remove both John Cusack and Thomas Jane from the movie. Third, hire Jason Statham and call it Driver 4.
Okay.
So he wants a Driver 4 movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Is Driver different from Transporter?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's ridiculous.
So, Gaul Iath says...
Like... Seagull?
No, like Goliath, but with a space between. Oh, okay. Yeah. Goliath says, this would be better with Nicolas Cage and Christian Slater, or Steven Seagal and Willem Dafoe.
Isn't that a movie already? Like, okay. Drive Angry or something? Like,
I don't know if Christian Slater's in that one, but Nicolas Cage. Here's the weird one, Steven Seagal and Willem Dafoe. I don't think Willem Dafoe is going to be in a movie with Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
So, Goliath?
Nah, it's not happening, so...
So, his name is Ollie023, and he says, I still don't understand this comment. Isn't this just Collateral, but with more black people?
I did not see a single person of color in this movie.
What is he fucking...
I have no fucking idea.
Isn't this just Collateral, but more black people?
Is he colorblind?
I don't think, even being colorblind, I think you could tell.
Yeah.
Like, even in South Australia, there's no Aborigine people in this movie at all.
That's weird, yeah.
But you know, what the fuck are you talking about, Ollie? If you could get back to us, please let us know.
Yeah. Curious.
Nelson says, I swear, John Cusack is a film away from doing porn. It made me laugh really hard. I mean, John Cusack is in a lot of independent movies now.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong
with that. But he's doing it because he hates Hollywood.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, there's nothing wrong
with that. After 2012, I think he's done with major Hollywood films. That kind of, that's a guilty pleasure movie. What? So, yeah, this movie...
It's fun.
I'm giving it hidden gem status.
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't deserve that, but I like it.
If you want to watch a movie that's just fun, that's non-offensive, that's just a good time, two guys bantering back, because like it's a lot of banter. Like you got to keep up with the bants, as they say.
Yes.
You know, keep up with the bants, mate. You know all that talk, that lad talk.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a lot of bants. You know, bants. You know, bants.
Bants.
You got to keep up with the banter, and it's just back and forth. There's a sort. It's not even a love story. It's like a trying to get good with your woman sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
fun.
It's not offensive. Everyone's like fun, pretty funny in it. There's like a biker bar fight scene, which is pretty awesome.
It's funny. It's awesome and funny.
An old lady with a shotgun. Yeah. How many William Sadlers do you want to give this out of five?
I give it 3 out of 5. 3.5 out of 5. It had its issues, but overall, I liked it.
I want to give it, I'd say, 3.5 to 4 William Sadlers.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So yeah, it's not bad. So I'm
surprised you remembered that William Sadler thing.
No, that's how we rate movies here.
All right. So I got wrestling comments. A lot of weird things happened this week.
Oh yeah.
4 big things happened. First thing was that Hulk Hogan, I pronounced his name right this time.
Hulk Hogan
went on to Good Morning America and was basically crying and saying that people should forgive him. And of course, once the waterworks, you know, start opening up, everyone starts to feel bad. Like, you know, maybe we should forget, you know, and it's all that shit. Hogan, some person said, favorite part of the interview, he still put himself over for slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania.
Oh my God,
while
he did.
Apologizing on national TV.
Holy shit, he did actually.
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow.
Reply to that. Andre was roughly 9 feet tall and 1,400 pounds by that point in his career. How could he not mention it?
Oh my God, 9 feet tall and 14. Okay. Well,
there you go. All
right.
When will Hulk Hogan apologize for his...
Yeah, you said Hulk.
God damn it. When will he apologize for his abysmal work rate? Someone responded, you're saying his work rate is worse than racism? You're not wrong.
Oh my God.
So someone just says, Teary Balea. Which means he's crying. That's his real name is Terry Blair. Yeah. Hogan, you idiot. Unless you were an actual time-warping 19th century plantation owner from Baton Rouge, you don't get to have the I'm old excuse. You're not even that old, my dude. It's like if I worked at Starbucks and just wrote a very, very gay slur on here as everybody's name on their latte, and despite customers being like, no, my name is Pete, fire this asshole, Starbucks was like, nah, he body slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. He's good.
Huh?
Forgive this guy already, someone says. Jesus Christ. What the fuck do people want from him? People are so fucking sensitive these days. He said he's sorry. No need to continually bash the guy and make a fucking joke out of his career and try to erase his existence from history just because he said the N-word. And, I mean, everyone just called this guy an idiot.
All right.
Racism is stupid. So Seth Rollins, the current champ, he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
She was fired for also racism.
Well, also Nazism, right?
Yeah. She posted a picture of a My Little Pony with a Hitler stash.
Okay.
And you could write that off as humor.
Well,
it's a little weird, but whatever. Then she posted a picture of of an old Nazi piece of memorabilia that she owned.
Okay. It's
and, you know, I understand people like to collect...
Jeff Hanneman was a collector of Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, but...
Rest in peace, Jeff Hanneman.
Yeah, but posting about it without context is kind of weird.
Okay.
Especially if you're in a public...
Especially if it's two things in a row, but okay.
Yeah. So she got fired, and some people were saying her response should have been, but I have dozens of Jewish black friends, you guys.
Not just... They're Jewish black friends, okay. So she's covering all bases. Okay.
So there weren't a lot of... Everyone was just being very civil about this and saying she's an idiot.
Okay.
So the last comment I have for her is, she should have known better to put stuff out like that onto the internet where everybody could see it. I hate gay people, but you don't see me posting stuff about it.
Jesus. I love how it's like
I think that's the joke, though. That
is it?
I don't know.
These are wrestling fans. You never know.
It's true. Snuka, Jimmy Snuka, yeah, is getting tried for murder.
Oh, God.
So, there's not much to say. It's a sad situation.
I mean,
the legend that is now removed from the Hall of Fame.
I mean, they just swap him with Edward Jims almost.
They look
the same person. Yeah.
That's what he did. He just jumped off the steel cage and landed on a man. Edward James Olmos. Why are they killing the past? Why don't they respect the Superfly? Why does John Cena exist?
Yes! Yeah! Oh.
It's ridiculous. I hated this motherfucker, and I'm glad he's going to get the 1-2-3 up the ass in prison.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are not having fun. The Superfly Splash will not work off the top of a guard tower. You will die and your bones will be outside of your body.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah, that's all I got. For, okay. So the final thing that happened...
Rest in peace, Snuka.
Rest in peace, your person in public. So the WWE has a performance center.
Yeah.
It's essentially like... Kind of like the UFC gyms and all that. Yeah. You know, you go there, you train. It helps the wrestlers, you know. So there was a dude who has been attempting to get there. A crazed fan has been trying to. So I have the report here. A deputy opened fire on a man outside the WWE's training center in Orlando, seriously injuring the guy, who has a history of bizarre incidents in WWE. An Orange County Sheriff's deputy confronted Armando Montalvo at the WWE... That's a classic Hollywood name there, Armando Montalvo. At the WWE Performance Center on Monday afternoon, the situation reportedly turned violent, and that's when the deputy fired. According to the docs obtained by TMZ, the wrestling organization got a restraining order against Montalvo earlier this month after a string of violent run-ins at the facility. Earlier this summer, the WWE says Montalvo spread his feces and urine on the building. He even posted a video of himself mixing the human waste and reduced fat milk in a bucket.
I like that how they had to say reduced fat, okay? Because that's important.
On multiple occasions, he allegedly showed up in a wrestling outfit, banged on windows, and threatened to kick everyone's ass because they wouldn't hire him. One of the times, he was swinging a large chain, and police had to subdue him at gunpoint. Just 5 days ago, Montalvo posted a video of himself outside the building saying he was going to ask for a job. He said, "What's the worst they can say?" Montalvo had to have surgery after this Monday shooting. So, some comments on...
This is my favorite ECW wrestler.
He is. All
right, so...
Thankfully, the wrestler is safe.
Oh...
You can blame your supreme effed up racist con man leader Barry the Fraud Obama for that for that SC umbag being in the U.S. and attempting to attack our boys. So this man is attempting to attack our boys,
okay,
the wrestlers, the great heroes of America. I look at the picture of the cop and think to myself, how embarrassing it must be to be shot by someone who doesn't even wear long pants yet.
Oh my god.
With the reduced fat milk he used, he has set himself up for a Harvey Milk defense.
What the fuck? Jesus.
This guy seems cool. Hope he's okay.
Okay.
And is WWE a World War II memorial? I don't understand.
I don't get what's happening.
So, I looked on the Performance Center. They have reviews there that people have left.
Oh, no.
So, I only have a few of these.
All right.
Reviews for the Performance Center. I saw Seth Rollins smiling like a muscular man. He was very strong.
Okay.
WWE is getting stupid. They need to let the wrestlers actually wrestle and not pick who wins. And don't tell the fans.
Okay.
I want to be a WWW wrestler when I grow up, so Stephanie McMahon, you better get ready to be beaten up. This is a man, by the way.
What the fuck does that... Okay, sure.
You steal my ideas from Community WIFC, you unoriginal pieces of shit.
The Independent Film Channel?
What? I have no idea. Okay. I think someone... This is like when someone said that movies stole from their
family. Okay, okay.
And the last one. Mental Triple H, your monkey.
Mental Triple H, your monkey.
There you go. That is wrestling comments.
Oh, God.
That is wrestling comments, my friends.
That was good. That was, well, I guess, yeah. Okay, so, that was a doozy one this week. So, before we go, quick announcement. This is our 10th episode.
Yay!
So, we made it to 10. An announcement of sorts. We are officially going bi-weekly. Twice a week, you'll be able to hear us. Every Monday and every Wednesday, there will be two podcasts out a week.
Oh, shit.
So, quick thing. Monday's podcast will be, as you've always heard us,
what
like this.
What we're doing right now.
You know, a trip through pop culture through the internet, filtered through the internet.
And wrestling fans like to mix their poop with milk.
not just milk.
Low-fat.
Low-fat milk. You're going to make the distinction. So, yeah, we're still going to do Netflix Roulette. Wednesdays, though, is going to focus more on comic books. So, because Secret Wars is going to be ending soon and Alex is going to start reading comics again, we found it, instead of crowding this episode with...
comics and...
and making it maybe a longer episode, which we considered, we're going to just expand. And on top of that, we're not going to just do comic books, but we're going to be... talking about comic legends, talking about comic stories from the past, the present.
It's a more focused... it's not as insane, I'd say, but we're still going to...
Yeah, there's still going to be internet comments.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. James, who runs the... who's the head writer of The Obscure Gentleman, he'll be joining me occasionally, and we'll see if comics hold up. We're going to be reading classic comics and discussing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be... Wednesdays, you'll come here for your more comic book-based episodes... new comics come out on Wednesdays, so it's a perfect timing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say look forward to that. So starting when this episode's released on Monday, look forward to an episode on Wednesday. Okay, so a lot of people don't know what's written about Mao Zedong, and Japan is the land of the rising sun, and he beated the Japanese's.
I'm gonna go on a limb here. This is about Mulan. The song, Be a Man, You Must Be Swift as the Coursing River.
This is Flight of the Icarus by Iron Maiden.
What the fuck does that even have to do with?